You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
Alright guys, so we've gotten to our preview section. We're going to be talking about Guns for Hire, and this is a pack that so many people have been clamoring for as soon as these ships came out, because let's be honest, when the Kirax and the Star Viper arrived, we were excited, but then it turned out they were dead on arrival. Not playable. Not, at least not in competitive play.
Very true.
I mean... True words have not been spoken.
I mean, right, the Star Viper was overpriced. A lot of us basically refer to it as the Auto Thrusters expansion. And the Kirax just, like, it had this combination of, like, being not survivable enough.
I mean, it's an X-Wing.
Right, it's basically.
It's a T-65 X-Wing. With one extra slot and minus 1 point.
Yeah, and no repositioning, so it's just it just got weird. So, but FFG heard our calls and said, "All right, guys, I got something for you. Here it is." So, in the pack, we're getting two new paint jobs. If you haven't seen them, you can go look them up. They are on our Facebook. We took all the pictures like we always do. Alex, thank you for always doing that for us.
My pleasure.
And the Kirax has your black sun paint theme, looks really cool. And the Star Viper basically looks like a butterfly, right?
It always looks like a butterfly, but yeah, it's red.
Yeah, like red and gray. I think it looks cool, though.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just a cool-looking ship. That's one of my favorite-looking ships because it's so different and distinct and doesn't have little tiny antenna that are going to pop off on top of it. Because, you know, that happens a lot.
It sure does.
It almost looks like it could be like a Sith ship.
Yeah, it really does.
For sure. So if anybody knows why that paint scheme is what it is, you shoot us a message, let us know, because we have no idea. Our historian and flavor judge couldn't figure it out either. So we don't know.
It looks like it is just the paint scheme in the PS5 ship.
Yeah, just don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's Black Sun something, so...
I believe the named pilots have come out of the No Disintegration source book, so Ron would actually be the authority on that one.
Oh, I have not read the book. I have it, but I actually haven't read it, but I'll look it up. Yeah, I was super excited to get that book just so I could deal with all the shenanigans Matt would do in our RPG... But I've been pretty hard on him lately and not letting him have as much fun. So,
Here is where we decide which way do we want to go first, guys. Star Viper or Kirax?
Star Viper.
Start with the Star Viper. That's at the top of the picture, the spread pictures.
All right, cool. So Star Viper, I mean, it's a ship that is already existing in the game, so I don't think we have to worry about the stats. I think the first thing we should talk about right away is the Star Viper Mark II title. Andrea, can you read that for us?
Yeah, let me pull it up really quick. It is a Star Viper only, obviously. You may equip up to two different title upgrades. When performing a barrel roll action, you must use a one bank template instead of a one forward template. And the cost of this upgrade is minus 3 points. I think it's awesome.
So basically, you get, you know, you can put Virago and Fire Control System on there for free.
Yeah.
Yes.
I actually really like, I might actually play Star Vipers with this title just because I love the idea of getting that 45 degree repositioning with a barrel roll. I think that could be really, really clutch.
And you can get auto thrusters on there.
Yeah,
3 points I think is correct here. The ship was definitely 3 points overcosted.
Yeah, I mean, you can let's talk about your PS. I think it's the PS1 generic, right?
Yeah.
It's 25 points base. Now you throw this on there, and you put auto thrusters, and you're at 24 points.
Yep.
So you could put four of them in a list, or it's just easier to even just make it a filler ship. Just put the title on. It's 21 points.
Yep.
You know, you got 22 points. Math is hard. 22 points, and you know you can build around it just to kind of have it as a blocker or something like that, especially with those kind of funky barrel rolls.
And let's not forget the Star Viper dial is really good. The dial itself is a very good dial. It's got a ton of maneuvers on it. You know, when the Star Viper came out, I actually did kind of well with it at first. But, I mean, obviously you can only play one of them because, you know, without the title, it's kind of... They're so overpriced. I mean, you could get away with a Gurry, but it was not Tier 1 by any stretch of the means. But just sometimes people not knowing the dial... Like, it catch people off surprise, like, oh, wow, it can do that? And you're like, oh, yeah, it's actually pretty maneuverable. And the new barrel roll is just going to make it even more maneuverable.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so I'm looking, I have some ships here next to me, and I took a small base, and I did the barrel roll using the bank as far forward as possible with the bank flipped, basically pointed forward, and with the bank flipped pointed back, and those positions are completely different.
Yeah,
sure.
It completely
insane.
Changes your angle and like gets you shots that you couldn't get with a normal barrel roll. I think it's very crazy. I think it's good though. I think it's the right amount of crazy.
Yeah, I think it's gonna make this ship like the best ship ever to fly through asteroids. It's gonna be amazing.
And I think people who have early success with this ship are going to be the ones that can really leverage this new barrel roll. People who were good at flying Echo are going to be really good at this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're right.
And there's going to be someone like Nathan Idy that's going to bring like one of these just naked to a tournament and just block your ship all day, and you're just going to be so irritated.
Could happen.
Man, I'm just messing around with this on the table, and it's some pretty diverse positioning that you can get. Put it up,
and that's not adding anything to it, like an engine upgrade or anything like that.
Right,
and you know the.
Oh wait, they already have boost. I apologize.
Yeah, they already have.
They already
boost,
have it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, crazy.
Yeah, you're gonna be able to do a lot of things, with the ship. I'm excited.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm definitely gonna have at least one Star Viper in my list when this comes out.
You know what could be cool is putting, what is it called? Enhanced scopes?
Yeah.
Advanced sensors.
Oh, yeah.
On it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be able to do that barrel roll first
and
then move. That could be really cool.
Yep.
Especially
in this current meta with all the jump masters that block. If you could move first and then get out of the way, that could be really cool.
Yeah.
So let's look at some of the pilots here, new ones that we can kind of parse from the picture. So we're getting a new generic, pilot skill 5. It's probably going to be Black Sun...
something. And they actually have two of that pictured there, which I think is odd, but... I guess they just wanted it for the layout.
No, I think they give you two copies of the pilot in the pack. That's why.
Ah, fair enough.
Yeah.
They want you to run four. Maybe.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So you can take this alternate paint scheme Star Viper and the one that you bought, you know, from before, and be able to run both of the generics. I think that's probably the idea.
Yeah.
So then we have a pilot skill 4 name pilot with we can't see his name, TH, and then a pilot skill 6, Dalen Oberos.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
And he's got like the Monarch orange color scheme.
Now, here is something interesting that I'm just seeing. I'm jumping a little bit forward here, but you know, we can see more of the text on the Kirax, and I have a strong feeling, because I'm just kind of, from what we can read from Vector Hell and Captain whatever his name is, I honestly think that those two condition cards, the, what does it say, they're shadowed and
mimic.
I can see mimic. The TH's pilot's name on the shaken one. It's Thweek. Thweek.
There you go. So there you go. Those. Oh yeah, they're on both of them. So that has something to do with that pilot skill 4.
Yep, you're right.
So he's gonna either give some type of condition, or he's going to assign the condition to somebody or himself with something.
Yeah.
And the other guy, we have no idea.
Yeah.
Because I can't parse anything from that.
Yep.
So, anything else on that Star Viper? I mean, we know the dial already. We're familiar with the ship. So, really, the big things are the titles. But I'm not sure if there's anything else you guys see there.
I mean, I like the new upgrade, the new pulse ray shield.
Yeah, that pulse.
Works nicely with the Star Viper.
Yeah, that'll go with that.
A Star Viper with auto thrusters and regen.
Mm-hmm. So while we're talking about it, it is the Pulsed Ray Shield upgrade. It costs 2 points. It's a modification. During the end phase, you may receive one ion token to recover one shield up to your shield value. You can equip this card only if your shield value is one. So that obviously severely limits the number of ships that can take this. It's Rebel and Scum only to begin with. But yeah, so, I mean, I think that's going to be really valuable on a Star Viper and on the
especially Kingfighter. Because with the maneuverability of the new barrel roll and it already having boost, like, you can, you'll be times when you can safely ion yourself, knowing that you have to go, you know, one forward, but then you'll be able to barrel roll and boost and still get your shot.
Right.
Now that's a mod, right?
Yeah, it's a modification.
Yes. Yeah, so you would have to lose auto thrusters to take.
You have to lose auto thrusters, yeah.
Good news is you won't have to buy the Scum Epic to get that anymore.
There you go.
That's true.
Even though, oh my god, that's coming out like next week, isn't it?
Yep.
What's coming out next week? Oh, the
Scum Epic.
C-Rock.
Oh, the C-Rock, yeah.
Rock.
Next Thursday. So by the time you hear this, it's Thursday.
Yeah.
Nice. Sweet. All right. So yeah, that's what we see. You know, with
the butterfly. Something to consider with that upgrade too. I mean, it might even be a little bit better suited for the K Fighter because K Fighter doesn't actually have a one forward on their dial.
Right.
Well, that's a perfect
the
transition.
Star Viper does, but yeah. So.
Put it on a Hawk.
Or that. Hawks have a one forward though.
All right, Ron. Give me that new title. The Vaxai.
Yeah, Vaxai. This title is 0 points. It is a Kuraz fighter only title. The squad point cost of each of your equipped upgrades is reduced by one to a minimum of zero. You may equip up to 3 different modification upgrades.
Oh, and by the way, this upgrade costs 0 points to equip.
I said that.
It needs to be reinforced.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
So all of the free things, just throw them all on a ship.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
So we, if you look at the title of this episode, this is where it comes from, right? Because when I first read this title, I, in my mind, said the squad points of each modification would be reduced by one. I said that in my head. I don't know why. So I was like, I didn't even think about the EPTs or the missiles costing less. I was just like, I was doing the math incorrect in my mind. And then in our chat earlier today, I think it was Alex who pointed out, guys, it's any upgrade.
Yep.
And it's like, oh.
Oh is right.
Who doesn't like free Atani Mindlinks?
Or free
I don't
lots
like free
of
Atani
things.
Mindlinks.
So you know, let's you know what, I'm gonna open up a squad builder here, and let's see currently in the game, what are the free things that you can get on this ship?
So it'd be three mods.
There's quite a bit.
One EPT, one missile, one illicit.
Okay, so you can get...
At least for the PS7 guy.
The title, you can get thread tracers for free. You can get black market slicer tools for free, inertial dampeners for free. Munitions failsafe. Don't play that. Don't do that. Okay.
Even for free.
Even for free, man? I don't know.
Even for free. Yeah, those are the ones that you can get for, and then all the EPTs, right? Because I don't even have a...
Yeah, most of the EPTs.
Not all of them.
Every EPT is free. So let's Adrenaline see. Rush, yeah. Atani Mind Link, Calculation, don't play Calculation. Cool Hand, Crack Shot, that's pretty good, for free. Mm-hmm. Dead Eye for free. Mm-hmm. Determination, Draw Their Fire, Fearlessness, Lightning Reflexes, Rage, Veteran Instincts, and Wired, all for free.
Draw Their Fire could be good with that title that lets you recover the shield.
Yep.
Look at Andrea. She's getting ready.
You know, I'm excited to play ships I've never actually played.
So I saw, you know, the forums exploded when this came out. Like, oh my God, this is crazy. And then followed very closely by, come on, Scum was already good. Now, here's one thing I do need to point out. These expansions are planned for and printed well in advance of any type of information they have for the meta.
For sure.
So,
and in all fairness, it's not Scum in general that's good. It's jumps that are good.
Right. And you know, there's a big prevalence of a tiny mind link, and I would not be surprised if this was signed, sealed, delivered to the Chinese factories, and they're saying, all right, print this before the what I'm going to call the tiny mind link meta, because that's what's huge right now, you know.
Oh, for sure.
And once it's going, they can't be like, hey guys, we got to change the whole thing, because that's losing money, and businesses are not in the
because there's a whole testing phase, and it is, I mean, there's you know, probably a full 6 months worth of work that goes into it before it even hits the printer, and that comes on the slow boat, which takes like 2 months, so
yep, real slow.
I mean, you're talking, it's probably a minimum of 9 months, more like, you know, a year's worth of work per expansion.
I mean, this is so good. So if we look at, you know, Talonbane Cobra, right? PS9, he was Fenrau before Fenrau was a thing, right?
I don't even know if he was ever a thing, but okay.
Don't tell that to Ryan Farmer.
All right, so, all right, let's see if they got this working right. All right, they do. So you can, man, let's see. So base Talonbane Cobra. All right, so what's a popular list right now, right? That old Fenrau.
Yep.
So let's take that type of archetype, and if we build it out, all right, and replace Talonbane in there, probably the only thing that you end up losing is the bid, which is important, but you do end up with two PS9s as opposed to a PS9 and a PS7. All right, I'm building it out now. This will all be fixed in editing. Jump forward to
assuming
when
you figure
it out.
Remember to edit it out, because sometimes you don't.
Hate me because you hate me, okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, snap. Okay.
What?
The C-Rock cards got spoiled, too.
Oh, on air. All right, do it. Drop it while I do this.
I'm reading. I'm deciphering what we don't know yet. What didn't we know?
I don't know.
Did a new article just drop?
No.
No.
It's C-Rock stuff. It looks like it's mostly Epic stuff that we already didn't know. Yeah, people are posting there. I got my C-Rock early pictures.
Because Amazon sucks. That's true.
Wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't Amazon. They got hit pretty hard by FFG when that used to happen all the time. Or I guess I should say Asmodee. Nope. I guess the guy said it did come from Amazon.
See, it's all
Amazon doesn't care.
They don't. They're too big to care.
Look at all my money.
It looks like it was just the C-Rock titles, and there's some sort of thug droid, but that is a epic crew.
Epic
so only.
We'll cover that in a future epic episode. Anyway, so if we take the archetype of Old Fenrir and take take Old Tarok out and throw in Taliban Cobra with engine upgrade and auto thrusters only, and a tiny mind link, of course, and the title, you get a 97-point list, which with a lot of PS9s, you're going to have plenty of bid. And that is, you could still add those thread tracers for free. I can go ahead and add the inertial dampener for free. I'm still at 97 points, guys. I'm not doing anything. You know what? For fun, I'm going to put munitions failsafe on there for fun. Just in case it doesn't hit. It's free. It doesn't matter.
It's free.
And I'm still at 97 points. And if you want to get crazy, you know, you could even, if you want to get to that 96 point, you maybe tweak something on the Manaru. Right now I'm doing the Intel Agent Ion Projector R4 Agromech version. But, I mean, it's this new title is really going to give, I think, the Kirax an opportunity to shine in a what is currently a scum predominant meta.
I agree.
I begrudgingly
agree.
We'll
go from seeing no K fighters to lots of K fighters.
Yeah. Now it's interesting that some of the builds that I was looking at, like some 4-ship builds, I think the ship that obviously benefits the best from this is the 5 pilot skill K-wing or K-fighter.
Yeah, I was gonna say that
call
K-wing
it.
Fighter.
Curious. I mean the black sun.
Aces.
Wow, because you get the EPT 5 pilot skill. You'll basically can load them up at 25 points apiece, run 4 of them, and you're going to be able to throw out 12 modified dice pretty much any engagement with Mind Link. And you're going to have the maneuverability of Barrel Roll. So, and you don't have to fly in formation, which is kind of one of the things that's not really, you know, kind of fallen in favor, out of favor, is formation flying. Now you don't even have to fly in formation. You could just close your net on your opponent, make your kill box, and you don't have to worry about, you know, having being tightly grouped together, so you could take advantage of vectored thrusters. I mean, vectored thrusters at one point is awesome.
You know, I'm looking at that, Ron. If you go ahead and put those thread tracers on, you know what? I honestly think that this title makes munitions failsafe a good card.
You like, heard it here first.
Yeah, seriously, guys. Because, you know, kind of a crappy thing with thread tracers, if they don't hit, right?
Yeah.
If they don't hit, you're SOL. So let's take your PS5 Kirax fighter here. If you put Atani Mind Link, thread tracers, inertial dampeners, munitions failsafe, vector thrusters and guidance chips, which is also free.
Yep.
You have a really high probability of being able to get that hit with the thread tracers, and if it doesn't hit, hey, guess what? You get to try it again because you have munitions failsafe. Mm-hmm. The first time that it's good.
Yeah, I mean, just imagine like coming in with your team and being able to, you know, have two guys that are, you're going to have all 4 ships target lock focused, and 2 of them can take an additional action that's not target lock or focused, so they can barrel roll or whatever. It seems very good.
Or like you could take out the guidance back. Or you can take out the guidance chips and replace it with the pulse ray shield.
Yep.
And then you're at 25, and then you have 4 25 points guys.
Yep, and like Andrea was saying, they don't have a 1-4, so like when you're doing your joust, you just intentionally ion yourself so you can get that shield back, and you just go 1-4, shoot again. Seems pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I'm a fan. I like what I'm seeing here.
Yeah, I think this is the best thing coming out of the pack, is this title.
For sure.
Unless, you know, until we see what all these conditions do.
So let's take a look at one of the at the pilot, the Kirex pilot that we can see there. So his name is Victor. I'm gonna guess Victor Hell, Victor Hill. And his ability says, after defending, if you do not roll exactly two defense dice, the attacker receives one stress token. So my initial reaction here is that it's interesting that we do have a new way to deal stress. But Ron and I had an opinion on his ability. Go ahead, Ron.
Personally, I don't think it's great. You know, time may tell, and I could be wrong, but I have the same reasoning as you. I'm not a fan of abilities that trigger off of defense on a ship that is as fragile as a Kurass fighter is. I mean, they only have 5 health, they only have 2 agility. I understand, like, the gimmick, like, you can put, like, stealth device on it, you can put expose on it, and then you could deal a stress, but it's just not going to trigger enough, I think, to be great. It's kind of the same problem I have with Talonbane Crowbra's ability. Like, a lot of times you only get half of his ability because so many people use torpedoes and secondary weapons that most often his defensive ability is what's lacking in. Ability like this, it's only triggered off a defensive dice. I'm not sure. I'm personally, I think it's okay. I don't think it's great.
Yeah, and then if you're trying to go for that kind of like auto thruster stealth device, you know, thing, you're increasing the cost on this guy. You even though you do have the minus one title, I mean, if you're putting 3 and 4 costs EPTs or sorry upgrades on the ship, you're starting to invest points in something that only triggers when you have a possibility of taking damage. And your goal in the game is to not take damage.
Yeah.
So I think he's a trap, honestly. I think some people are going to try to use him, and I'm not sold that it's going to be good. I really don't.
I see this would be like a fine ship if you just want to play for fun. I don't ever see this ship cracking any top lists of any meta, but
I think it would still be fun just to have the stealth device and then a scavenger crane and just be a jerk.
So yeah, funny. I mean, that'd be cool, like, right? But then it's like you're still at the mercy of green dice.
Oh, absolutely.
And
I definitely don't think it's ever going to be a tier 1 or even a tier 2 competitive level list. I just think it'd be really dirty and fun to scavenger crane back a stealth device.
Yeah, no, I think that'd be cool. I mean, I don't know. What, I guess my question is, the other problem I have with this ship is the defender has to attack you, so it's like your opponent is making the choice to receive that stress. It's not like other stress mechanics, like, you know, the astromech droid or other mechanics where you can choose to give the stress. They have to make that choice. And I don't know if this guy is going to pose as much of a threat to even warrant attacking him. You might just attack other things in the list. And it's not like this guy's some kind of ace that's going to fly around the board and you got to kill him first, like a Cornhorn or a Miranda or something like that.
Go ahead. What my thoughts on him was. Yeah, he doesn't look... like you said, getting shot at is not a great strategy. But I think he could be a good endgame closer, because if you end up with one of your ships versus this guy, I would think you have a disadvantage, because every time you attack him, you're going to lose a stress, making yourself more predictable and potentially leaving yourself up for no actions if you don't want to take a green move every turn. But yeah, that's about it.
Maybe, I mean, though, like, that's his on only. Their endgame ship is, right? Like,
well, that's what I mean. This is the kind of scum. I don't think scum had a really defining, like, ship you don't want to go one on one with.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't the stress mechanic that's like on Ventress or something.
Oh yeah, totally.
Where you have so much more control. I don't know. I think it's an okay card. Who knows? There's more stuff that we got to see. So far, I'm loving the five pilot skill guy the best.
I mean, being able to give some power back to generic ships is always, I think, good. You know, it brings some of the more dogfight-esque part of the game back. You know, when you can fight, when you can fly four or five ships around and be able to do stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think that's actually something that's kind of been missing from the game. When I talked to Alex at it was Alex and Frank at Worlds, I was kind of like gently nudging them. It's like, can you guys like design a card that like, I don't know, helps out generics, in some way, and specifically like small based generic ships, because really the only big ones we see are the only generics we really see are contracted scouts. You don't really see any others, but and even small base ships kind of, unless you're like an ace, there's not even that many small base ships that are being played.
Yeah, here's another way to look at this with this new title. You take the PS2, and you can fit five of them in a list with thread tracers, inertial dampeners, munitions failsafe for 20 points each.
Yep.
And, you know, take guidance chips too for your other thing, and there you go. So,
I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
That's a lot of dice and a lot of hull.
It at least gives... We have seen this list run at our store.
Yeah, without any upgrades on it, though.
Without any upgrades. And here's an opportunity to, in that opening engagement, at least four of your ships having target lock focus in that opening volley. I think that could be huge.
Yep. And if you don't get it, then you could do it again the next turn.
That's
although,
right, because
I'd be really surprised if the thread tracer didn't hit with the guidance chip and the focus.
Yeah, yeah,
it'd
agree.
Be hard not to.
Roll
so,
better.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I really like what we're seeing. I would love to like go to Worlds next year, and instead of seeing like nothing but Jump Masters, like a whole bunch of these guys and Star Vipers on the table. Like, how cool would that be?
Yep, I agree. I think it'd be kind of cool. I know I'm planning tomorrow's our league night, to bring at least a Kirax with me and mess around with it after done with league games.
We have the Prince Sizer achievement. You should run a Star Viper.
Yeah, but I can't run it with the title, the new title. That's what I want. So let's look at some of the other cards that we see here in the Card Fan. So we talked about those two condition cards, or two of the condition cards that we can see there. And there are two other condition cards. They're the same, though. They're titled Harpooned. There is an exclamation point, so you do have to say it excited whenever you read it.
Absolutely.
So when you get the Harpooned condition card, it says, when you are hit by an attack, if there is at least one uncancelled crit result, each other ship at range 1 suffers 1 damage. Then discard this card and receive 1 face down damage card.
Yep.
We Firefly now.
Yes.
And I mean, in all fairness, there could be a little bit more to that condition. It's maybe 2/3 of that card is revealed. So there could be more to it.
Correct. And that is connected to, on the left side of the card fan, we see the, what I'm going to guess is the Harpoon Missile.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. We don't know how many dice it is. We don't know, do you have to have a target lock or a focus, or is it just an attack? We don't know anything about that. But
is it a specific faction or a specific ship?
Yes. Yeah, but it is, for the first time, a missile that deals a condition card, which is pretty cool.
And hopefully it has something to do with dealing crits.
Hopefully.
Because otherwise, well, I'm not really sure how you make that condition happen consistently.
Well, okay, here you go. The Kirax has 3 attack dice. If you use the Harpoon Missile with Guidance Chips, you can change one of the results to a crit.
Yep.
Fair enough.
There you go.
What about that Ion Discharge probably? You think, oh, that last card looks like it's Ion Discharge to me.
Yeah. It's oh, Ion yeah, Discharge for sure. Something. But I think there's it's not just, a lot. It's like, after yeah, you line, token you, line, enemy you. If you do line, token, line, choose, line, token.
So here's my guess. Here's my guess. I have a feeling, okay, Pulse Ray Shield gives an Ion token, right?
Sure.
So if this kind of synergizes with that, I'm going to guess that it probably says after you receive an Ion token, you
do something with an enemy ship.
You choose an enemy ship, probably at a range or something, and if you do, they get the Ion token because it's discharging. Mm. It's like that it would passes. Be cool.
Like if I get it, you get it too, like splashed Ion.
Yeah.
So we're just going to line up and shoot each other because we both have to go one forward.
Yep.
Hopefully it's two Ion tokens and not one, so it affects big ships.
Yeah.
For sure. So I think that's what
cool.
that is.
I'm down with that, especially since it's an illicit upgrade, which would pair nicely with these guys that have that illicit slot.
And if it's 1 point, it's free.
Exactly.
on a Kirax fighter.
Exactly.
We'd be talking about free, but we also should talk about like how awesome is it just to get a 50% discount on a,
oh, yeah,
on a,
huge
on a upgrade? Like 1 point vectored thrusters. I mean, look at all the upgrades that cost 2 points.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
All right, we have here. That one doesn't count. Let's see. We got Pulse Ray Shield costs 2. You get a 50% right there. Stygium Particle Accelerator, if you want to get cute and run the Scum Cloaking Device. Vector Thrusters. Those are the current ones that you can run on a Kirax. Auto Thrusters. Duh.
You can't run Auto Thrusters on a Kirax. They don't.
Yeah, you can. Sure if you can. Put engine upgrade on it.
What? Oh, because you could run 2.
You can run 3. 3 yeah, different mods.
Yeah. Yep, 3 mods.
You're right, that's
all
cool.
All for 1 cheaper.
That's true.
So to get engine plus auto thrusters, it costs you 4 points.
Yep.
Total.
That's super awesome.
Yep.
Well, no, so, 5, right? Because it isn't engine 4. So engine it's right, reduced to 3. And then auto thrusters is 3, so it'd be reduced.
It's
to
2. Auto thrusters is 2.
Oh, auto thrusters is 2.
Yeah.
Never mind. I lied.
It might should be 3, but it's 2.
Yeah, I'm just thinking in my head of what it should be.
This is going to be a pain in the butt to write on squad sheets. Do you write the real number or the altered number?
Yeah, you know how many questions you're going to get at that. It's you are not joking.
You can hear it now. All the trolls.
Yep. Great. So excited about that, being the person that has to collect everybody's deck lists.
So whenever I have a question, just tell Andrea.
Yeah, ask her. She'll figure it out. It's fine. Uh-huh.
It's like Incredibles. Kids, listen to your mom.
That's right. So so I'm really excited to see what these ships do for the game. I know that competitively, I have not put either of these on the table, and I've only flown a Star Viper once, and it was Guri, and it was because I just felt like it, and I didn't like it, so I never did it again.
I think Guri is really going to make a comeback with this.
I think so, too.
Oh, for sure. Guri with a Tani Mind Link.
Yep.
She becomes the focus factory. You just keep her in range 1 and circle people with your little barrel roll.
Yeah, I think Guri is going to be awesome. I'm pretty pumped for this. I really am. I'd like to see these ships. They're some of the coolest looking ships, so it's a shame when they're not on the table.
Perhaps the archives are incomplete.
If an item does not appear in our records, it does not exist.
All right, we're in the library. Alex, we haven't been here in a while. What's been going on, man?
I've been on a extended sabbatical into the depths of the archives, for whatever reason, looking for information on Star Vipers and custom Kirax fighters. And I feel like that information is relevant today.
Please, please expound on this.
So, as some of you might have noticed, today I gave the Vaxi my trademarked lore seal of approval. the reason being is the Vaxi was a variant of the Kirax fighter that was used mostly by the Black Sun crime syndicate. And the differences it had over a regular Kirax fighter is that it was faster, it was more maneuverable, it had a little bit more survivability. It could last longer out in space, it had more space for supplies, and just like the title card said, it had over 3 times the maximum system component capacity, so you could have heavier, more powerful engines, weapons, other sites of illicit systems. It had a flight computer as opposed to an astromech, so no sort of shenanigans there. So it was just a more heavily modified Kirax fighter. I don't know if it was FFG's actual intention to go that route just for me, or if that was just a funny coincidence.
No, they wanted that stamp of approval. You know what? We're gonna have to make Patreon rewards. That's the lore stamp of approval. we're gonna put it on a card. We're gonna do it.
Put it on a card. Within the games, the first time you actually saw this was in one of my old favorite games. I don't know. Did you ever play Star Wars Galaxies, Ron?
Yeah, I sure did. I played a little too much.
Yep, that game was fun. This was like a quest reward for doing something. You got to pick between this, an X-Wing, and a Royal Guard TIE Fighter.
Oh, so this was after the jump to Lightspeed expansion.
Yes. This was right before they ruined the game.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And so with the Star Viper, that was definitely more of a rare ship. It was very, very, very expensive. And the Virago was the personal ship of Prince Zizor, who co-founded, co-manufactured, co-designed, pretty much had his hand in the entire development and manufacturing of the Star Viper / Virago. And what's really unique about the Star Viper in general, and some skilled modders have done this, and it's really cool if you can find it, but the wings actually bend back and forward with the same type of S-foil technology that X-Wings have. So they could, and this kind of also ties in with the Mark II title with the bank barrel roll, they could turn and twist and move in ways that you wouldn't normally see, at least in the Star Wars universe, for how things maneuver in space. But they were super maneuverable. You could not lock these things down. Zizor's specifications demanded that these things be faster and more maneuverable than a TIE interceptor. The Virago itself wasn't any different than a regular stock Star Viper, at least not that I know of, but it was his personal ship. It was supposedly destroyed in a battle over Coruscant, which if you've ever played Shadows of the Empire or read any of the comics or the books or anything like that, that was all a huge battle which Dash Rendar was part of, and Luke, and pretty much everybody.
So, are you Star Wars? You were there.
Yeah. Shadows of the Empire was literally, it was funny. It was like, Return of the Jedi is not quite ready yet, but we have to have something, so let's just have this side story. And it was pretty fun.
Awesome. Thank you for that, Alex.
No problem.
Do you live in the Chicagoland area or plan on visiting? Come on down to Pastimes Comics and Games, the home of Gold Squadron, where we play X-Wing every Wednesday night, as well as have tournaments the first Sunday of every month. We also play Armada, Imperial Assault, and Destiny on different days. Visit our Facebook page, look up Pastime Star Wars for more.
Where are those transmissions you intercepted? What have you done with those plans?
Hey everybody, it is the event portion of the show. We have a lot of things to look forward to this summer.
Oh, boo. Boo, you didn't do your patented line.
What was that? Oh, my favorite part of the
Guys,
show.
This is my favorite section.
Sorry. You want me to record
it? I need it. It's how I get excited. I'm just trolling you, Ron. Keep going. I love you, man.
I don't remember. So we have store championship season upon us. What is this? 4 months to go to different stores, play X-Wing. I know Dion, you're going to like 11, right?
Not quite 11. Let's see. I actually have the list right in front of me.
Like, I saw your list and my eyes almost popped out of my head.
I'm going to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wait, I'm bad at counting. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10. 10 for sure.
I didn't count the maybes.
Yeah, 10 for sure. And there's a couple other ones.
Is ours on that list?
Yes, ours is on that list, but I don't have it marked as registered. I'm assuming I'll be there because we haven't opened registration yet.
Yeah, so you're going to 10. I think we're recording at a bunch. You're going to stream a bunch of the ones you go to, which will be pretty sweet. Our store championship will be pretty big. Last year we had 78 players. We played 7 rounds of Swiss with a cut to top 8. And Lyle, or otherwise known as Sozin, was our store champion. And I think he's actually coming to defend his title. So... we should have a blast of event. That is actually going to be in August. And it's going to be basically probably the premier, what would you say, like warm-up event before Nationals?
Yep.
It'll be the weekend of August 5th through the 6th. And the reason I say 2 days is because if we get nearly 80 players again... Yes, we'll do Swiss rounds on Saturday with a cut on Sunday. I'm sorry. I don't want to turn people away. But it is awesome to have a huge event with tons of prizes. And we'll definitely make it worth your while for coming out.
Are you doing a redemption style for the second day for anybody that sticks around?
Yep, exactly. Well, we'll do a redemption style event. We might even do... I'm going to talk to Howard... Howard was running Hunger Games at the Nexus Game Fair in Milwaukee. He does an amazing job with those events, and I was going to see if maybe he wanted to bring his Hunger Game mats, and we could do like Hunger Game pods for people that maybe don't want to do something, like the Redemption event or something super competitive on Sunday. As far as other events, we really just have our Invitational Series.
You said you were going to spoil this. Give it to me.
Yeah, so I don't have the information yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen Alan, and he said we need to talk.
Yeah, I'm still dying to know what this is all about.
So, you'll have to edit that out of the show.
Okay.
Sorry. What else do we got going on? I think that's it.
Just so if by now, if you haven't signed up for the North American Championship, you probably missed it. I don't know if there's any more spots open, but you can check through the Gen Con website. Yeah.
I can check. I don't think there are.
Yeah. Though. And the, that's the North American Championship, and the Nationals at the Nova Open, which is happening in September, they currently have a wait list going. So those are our big two events that are coming up. And By the time you're listening to this, we would have had our Galaxy Draft already. We are streaming that. And then to go back to store championships, like I said, I'm going to at least 10. My wife said, go for it. I believe in you, honey. And I was like, wow, you're amazing. So she's all for it. And she knows that the community loves it, and the community is supporting our efforts in it. So, yeah, we're going to be streaming from a bunch of store championships that have internet there. We're not going to break the bank on this one, you know, when it comes to, you know, streaming with data or anything like that. But anytime we don't have internet, we'll, you know, we'll record, and we'll be recording everything locally too. Everything will go up on our YouTube page. So if you're not familiar with our Twitch, that's twitch.tv/Gold Squadron Podcast. And if you want to support our efforts, because I am going to have to be, you know, lugging equipment and get there early and stay late to tear everything down, it would be great. And we'll get you some swag through the Patreon. If you are running a store championship in, you know, Chicagoland area, and you want us to come stream, you just let me know, and don't do it on a conflicting date, and probably can be there in the future. Actually, I had a store contact me and be like, hey, can you do our store championship on this date? I'm like, no, there are three other ones on the same date. I can't go. I'm sorry. I have to put out a PSA real quick. Sure. Any of my opponents in store championship season, I love you, but I will have no mercy on you. Thank you. I am so hungry for a championship. I want it so bad. I'm gonna be nice about it, but you know, oh, I want it so bad.
You can come over to my house and just look at all my store championship plaques, Dio.
Shut up. So to be fair, with my timing coming into the game, I've only been through one store championship season.
Same here.
So this is my second store championship season. So I'm looking to make my mark. And that is that in the first one, I got like three top fours, which was fun. Yeah, so let's wrap this up. I hope everybody's enjoyed our interview with our world champion and our discussion on the Guns for Hire expansion. I know we're all really excited about it. Just one more time, if you like our show and you like the content we do lots of different stuff. So we have the podcast that you're listening to. We have our Twitch channel. So we talked about that already. Gold Squadron Podcast. Just look us up on Twitch. All of our Twitch videos go onto our YouTube page. You can subscribe there. If you ever have questions, send us a Facebook message or email us at goldsquadronpodcast@gmail.com. Go to Facebook, punch that like button. You know, we're trying to get to 2,000 likes. We're at like 1,880 or something like that. The goal was 2,000 for this year, and we're halfway through the year, so let's try to get that. Trying to think if there's anything else I'm forgetting. I don't think so. So let's everybody have a great day. I hope store championship season is going really well for you. And in all seriousness, guys, let's have a good time at these tournaments and stuff like that. And congratulations to anybody who has won so far, and I look forward to looking at that data and playing lots of cool games. For Ron, Andrea, Alex, and our dearly departed Marcel, just kidding, he's just in Paris, guys, he's not dead. This is Dion Morales, Gold Squadron, out.